This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Chefs across the state are adjusting and adapting to the coronavirus era. Restaurants can only do takeout or delivery orders. Many have shifted their menus to carry out friendly dishes, but some dining rooms have decided to cut their losses and just close down. Chef Chidi Kumar has made that decision with her Raleigh restaurant, Garland. And then a couple of weeks later, the James Beard Foundation announced that she was a finalist for Best Chef in the Southeast Region. We're checking in with Chidi now as we continue our conversations with former guests about how they're doing in this moment. In addition to Garland, Chidi also co-owns the music venue Kings and the bar Neptunes and plays guitar for Birds of Avalon, all of which I suspect is on hiatus now. Welcome back, Chidi. How are you doing?
It's really good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on being a James Beard finalist, but how weird is that in a moment when you can't really celebrate with a lot of people in one room?
Exactly. It's incredible, but it's also surreal. And just like everything, the last 8 weeks has felt somewhat detached from reality in a way. I think, us being able to celebrate with our team, and really that's who should get the credit for this. It's kind of like it's happening in a vacuum, but it's still very meaningful and I'm really, really grateful.
Well, sticking with the James Beard Foundation for a minute, I know that you've said the James Beard Foundation has been a guiding light for you. How so?
In the last 2 or 3 years, I've just learned so much about advocacy and policy influence that chefs could potentially have. And that was not really something that I'd ever considered going into opening a restaurant. But I attended a what they call a boot camp, and it kind of opened my eyes to, how much power is in the food system of any community. And, as chefs, we influence our restaurant, we influence our employees and our guests, but in general, we have so much economic power on, when times are normal, in how we choose to source. And, we're always donating our time and money to causes that we feel matter. But then on the larger scale, I think we have the ability to balance so many financial systems, and we don't really even realize that we do that. But when you start thinking about it in those terms, you really kind of feel the impact that you could make. And if we all were uniting as a single voice, or maybe at least shared voices, it would really make a difference. And it's been interesting that through this situation with COVID, just seeing the numbers that, on a day-to-day basis, we never thought about, but how many people we employ, how much of the national GDP is contributed to independent restaurants, and how much of our money actually just goes right back into farmers and fishermen and wine distributors and, all kinds of, technological systems. I mean, it's just endless. And, that 95%, number that keeps being referred to as going back in the economy is absolutely true. And that's if you're successful. In our first few years, we didn't even see that much of a, that 5% was something that we strive for. So,
right. Which speaks to a lot of things, which speaks to, first of all, the small margins. I know you can go to a restaurant and take a look at the price of these things and think, wow, man, these guys must be rich. But the margins are small. And then again, to emphasize what you just said, what Matt Lardy said and what Katie Button said, when it is an independently owned restaurant, it's not going to shareholders, in the Cayman Islands somewhere. It just keeps circulating through your community. So, okay, if you've listened to this show for the last 20 minutes, perhaps you got that now, but you talked about advocacy. Is that idea making its way up in through the channels of power? Do policymakers understand this?
I think that, we've all, as restaurant owners, have realized how much help we need and how much support we need and how little there really is. Like a framework set up for us in a time of utter crisis like this. So many of us have spent a lot of hours in the last 8 weeks trying to get the ear of legislators on the local, state, county, and even national level. The Independent Restaurant Coalition was founded only 7 or 8 weeks ago, and it's, made a lot of difference in, hopefully directing how things go from here on out. talking about PPP and all of its intense limitations as it comes to for restaurant owners. I mean, we're looking at money that we can't really touch. It's really weird and very frustrating. We're trying to, we've hired people back. We're launching a heat and eat program this weekend. And that's, you know, just trying to navigate the safety of this whole situation being, you know, sort of our guiding light. It's really tricky to do that and then save our business and save the jobs that, you know, everybody's worked so hard to develop their career with us and beyond. And, you know, we really want that effort to be a part of their, you know, their life as we move out of this,
right.
Whenever that will be. But,
go ahead, finish that thought, please.
I mean, just in the state in general, I think, you know, we really have a very unique culture in North Carolina. We have such a rich agricultural tradition, and just the amount of, you know, between the fishermen and the proteins that are raised and all of the abundance of produce and the very rich restaurant scene in across the state that's nationally lauded and recognized, and the interaction between those two, how North Carolina restaurants, so many of us support local farmers, and all of that money stays in the state. It goes towards tax revenue. It fills the state budget coffers. And I think it's really important for the state then the government to turn around and recognize the importance of this sector of the economy and, you know, find creative ways of supporting us, because we will turn around and support again. That's just how the system is set up. And it's a part of the foodways, and it's a part of our economy. And it's such a vital part that really, really needs assistance and standing back up right now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you think about supporting farmers and supporting, you know, the people who do the fishing, you get the idea that this, you know, 'twas ever thus, and now you're supporting them. But to a large extent, this restaurant scene is what allowed so many farmers to get into sustainable agriculture and to get off of the industrial agriculture treadmill that they were trapped in because they had no other markets. As these markets expanded, they could get into sustainable agriculture, which is something many of them wanted and just couldn't afford to do. And now they can. So you can see how interconnected all of this is. So how have you connected, or have you been connecting? I'm sure you have, with other restaurant owners and chefs. And what kind of connections are you making, and what are you hearing?
Yeah, we have, you know, a very active text thread. I mean, that's how it kind of started. About 15 restaurant owners and chefs just started a text thread like on March 16th. What are we going to do? Maybe even earlier, that weekend, the weekend of the 14th. It was, you know, things progressed so quickly back then. Every day was a different scenario, and all of the solutions that we came up on Saturday were completely irrelevant on Sunday and beyond. And so we all really needed each other, and there was no secrecy, and there still hasn't been. I mean, we've really shared so much of our fears and actual numbers and strategies and vulnerabilities and systems that we've all had to just like figure out on the fly. We're all kind of in the middle of reinventing our business, which I haven't had this sort of feeling in my stomach of I don't really know what next week is going to look like in terms of picturing what is service, what is it that we do, how do we connect with all of the things that we've worked so hard to develop over the last 6 years, how do we you know, allow that to be safely conveyed to anybody who would, you know, want to support us in the next 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 7 weeks. I don't know. And, you know, any business owner will tell you that when you do a projection, you got to have a timeline, and we don't really have a safe timeline. So, you know, kind of, I feel like we're learning how to float in a very torrid sea right now. We just, the amount of faith that we have to have in what we're doing and in our community is such a huge, you know, more than half of how we look ahead.
I was going to say floating, it's more like bobbing like corks, but I get it.
Well, yeah.
So and now a lot of restaurants have stayed open and done takeout, which has probably tripled the amount of time now those owners are spending in their place. But you are closed, and I wonder what you're doing to fill up your time.
We've spent the last 2 weeks, again, we're launching a heat and eat meal kit program this weekend. So again, that took a like 2 to 3 weeks of like rebuilding our, you know, all of our back end and trying to figure out how, what, you know, takeout supplies we need. A lot of all of those things are out of stock. Finding PPE equipment, masks and gloves and things that are, you know, just not available. It really took us a while to source all of that stuff. So we're never in a position where we're just completely, you know, looking at the last box of gloves or the last box of masks or anything right. like that. We've done a lot of repairs and we've done a lot of policy work. We've spent hours and hours with, you know, senators and county commissioners and the mayor and city council members and Zoom meetings. And, you know, we've also cooked and enjoyed being outside, which is, I mean, I'm not going to lie, that's been a kind of a lifesaver that we don't really get to have when we're working our normal 15-hour inside the kitchen days or in the dining room. So, you know, it's been a lot of sort of, I think everybody has this shared experience of whether you're a business owner or not. The way time has been in this last 8 weeks is different. You have more time, but somehow it just seems to just evaporate. And I think, you know, we all have this internal schedule of markers that we feel like, okay, well, I've gotten to work and now I've done this part, or lunch has started, lunch has ended. Like you're able to almost psychologically cross off things, markers in your day, and it's all kind of free form. So there was definitely a period of adjustment. And yeah, I mean, we're repairing and cleaning a lot of things in our building as well.
And I know you've done a couple of cooking tutorials or classes. How have they gone? Yeah. How's that going?
That's been really fun. Actually, that's I can't believe I forgot to mention that. That's been kind of an interesting glimpse into perhaps what could be an important part of every chef's future. There's things that, you know, we kind of take for granted, and it's kind of you know, teaching and mentoring is a big part of our job. And if we can't stand right next to somebody that we, you know, employ right now, we can certainly do that for a lot more people. And it's been really fun to learn how to, you know, put our production skills to, you know, in a focus that we haven't really done before. And just talk about recipes and show techniques that are really simple. And I think one good thing that might come out of all of this is maybe everybody's been forced to cook a little bit more or a lot more in their house. And, you know, I think people being connected to the food they eat is never a bad thing. Right. And learning how to convey how simple something can be and still super delicious with just a few little tricks or a couple of ingredients that you might want to have in your refrigerator, whatever your perspective is as a chef, that's been really fun. And I hope that we can sort of, you know, make that a part of our of what we do going forward. Just, you know, we're going to need all of the of the non brick and mortar dependent sources of revenue, I think, that we can possibly figure out.
Yeah, and supply chain too. I mean, I can imagine an industry that develops out of this where the chefs are online with tips, but also kind of supply chains for people who want to access great local wholesome food, protein, produce, fish. How do we do that? And those supply chains get all worked out, and I'm now cooking at home and I would have gone to the restaurant, but I'm paying for the lessons and I'm making sure that the food is locally sourced. You know, you can imagine kind of reshaping the industry and keeping the money where it belongs. And again, good, wholesome food. At least that much you can imagine.
Definitely. I mean, I think a partnership with, you know, there's so many CSAs that already have a distribution network, and we already partner with farmers anyway, so it's not that much of a stretch to, you know, make that be something that people can experience without leaving their home.
So let's talk about your music career. Now, both as guitarist for Birds of Avalon, but also the owner of Kings in Raleigh. Is that a whole different set of thoughts for you, or is that kind of the same industry? When people get together, they'll be at Kings, they'll be at Garland.
Well, I think the live music industry might be even later than the restaurant industry. I think, you know, the experience of being in a restaurant, you can envision yourself being in a restaurant that's not very full. You know, you're kind of focused on the person that you're dining with, maybe two people or one person, or, you know, and you can still have a complete experience regardless of how many people are in the restaurant. What that does for the economy of the restaurant, that's a different story. But with a venue, I think when people picture shows that they remember, they kind of remember the fun ones are crowded and, you know, everybody's going crazy or like, you know, it was hot and sweaty. And it's, I think that kind of energy is kind of just generated by people like all gathering right. in close proximity. And that kind of makes us nervous just even thinking about it or talking about it. I don't know. I mean, that's a really big unknown. I think people are enjoying music on their headphones. Sure. That's never going to stop. But the experience of going to a show inside of a venue, I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to predict. I feel like outside is going to be our answer for a little while. Whether that's outdoor dining or outdoor shows, or maybe cities will close their streets and let dining rooms happen for, you know, until 10 p.m. and then there's a block party show. I don't know. I don't know what's safe. I don't know when that's going to happen. Right. But certainly everybody's going to have to be really creative and figure out a way of, you know, finding joy in the ways that we used to. And maybe that's not possible for a while. I don't know.
We are going to wait and see, as all of us will. Chidi, so good to talk with you as always. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Chidi Kumar, owner of the Garland Restaurant, King's Music Venue, Neptune's Bar, and a member of Birds of Avalon. As we're talking about indoor events and perhaps moving to the outdoors, we could move back to drive-in theaters. So for the next Movies on the Radio, we want your memories of drive-ins and outdoor screenings. Maybe you drove to a campy horror flick like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre or laid out on a summer evening watching The Incredibles. Your outdoor movie experience for the next Movies on the Radio, SOT at WUNC.org or tweet at hashtag SOTMovie to be part of our next show. That's the state of things for today. Our show was produced by Anita Rao, Amanda Magnus, Grant Holland-Mormon, Kaya Findlay, and Stacia Brown. Josie Taras is our intern, Jenny Lawson, our technical director. Al Widarski helped engineer today's show. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacia.